The people who met him originally or us when we meet him in his word and through his witnesses. The one thing Jesus doesn't do is just humdrum, check the box, meet our expectations. He never does that. And so he either lets us down because we have a different set of expectations than he was going to meet, or he blows our minds and resets our expectations. And we saw how that went all the way back to the beginning and the events surrounding his birth. And certainly we see that in both the circumstances of his birth, that was essentially what no one would have predicted for a great king, never mind the one true God. But also, more than that for me, I'm somewhat stunned and I marvel at the witnesses that our God chose to be surrounding him. I see no great witnesses. Even the wise men, they were not the wise men of Israel. They were some wise guys from out east. They weren't even Israelites, it seems. And they were sort of the best of the company. The rest is some shepherds, seemingly an arbitrary group of shepherds, still smelling of the field and sheep. And then shortly after Christ's birth, an old widow, faithful as she was, some old widow. And then some old man, faithful as he was, just some man, no great title. But these are the people, and you are the people. And I am one of the persons he is called to be witnesses to his glory. And it's not because we are these amazing vessels. It's just because he's an awesome God. And so I hope you see yourself as a witness to this as we go through. So pay careful attention to these chosen few who got to come and see his glory as he came into the world. So I'll read for you most of Luke chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. I was scratching my head how I could possibly preach a short sermon, as was promised, the shortest sermon of the year. And then I figured it out, you guys. The way I preach a short sermon is to not preach a sermon. And so today, I'm just going to give you a reading that's come from a Crossway article, but the writing is from Francis Schaeffer, who has now gone on to be with our Lord. And Francis Schaeffer was an American theologian, a very important voice. He had a very prophetic vision of how this country was interacting with God or was forgetting God. But he reflected upon seeing Jesus the way the shepherds did. And so I just want to share with you his reflection. And we'll leave it at that. So here are his words. Let us imagine that we are with the shepherds on those hills in Palestine. We have seen and heard the angels, and we have begun to run to Bethlehem. We come bursting into the presence of Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and immediately we wonder, what are we looking at? First of all, we are looking at a true baby. He is not an idea or a religious experience. He is a newborn infant who makes noise and cries and gets hungry. What we are looking at is real, simple, definite, complete. We are looking at a true baby. There's no reason to think that the baby shows any special manifestations. An artist such as Rembrandt can paint him with light emanating from his body. And if we understand light as symbolic, it is safe enough. But if we think of it as more than that, it is harmful. There is no halo about the baby's head. Certainly, there is no halo around Mary's head. What we see is a young Jewish mother, probably 17 or 18 years old. She may be pretty, or she may not be. We see her husband, and we see a little baby who does not show any marks that would distinguish him from any other infant. And yet, this little baby we see lying here is the second person of the Trinity. He himself has been God forever. This baby is God who has taken on flesh. Why did God come into this world? Only the scriptural answer will suffice. The second person of the Trinity has been born because he loves the world. But why did he come this way, as a little baby? Why did he choose to lie in a manger? and be cared for by a human mother with the sweetness but the utter weakness of a newborn babe. He came this way because he came to meet the central need of men. He did not come to overthrow the Romans, though a lot of Jews would have loved that. If he had, he would have come riding on a great conquering steed. The central reason he came was not to raise the living standards of the world. Surely if modern man were going to vote on the way he would like a Messiah to appear, he would want him loaded down with money bags from heaven. He did not come primarily to teach and relieve ignorance. Perhaps then he would have come laden with books. An angel had revealed to Joseph the primary task for which he came. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is here to cut the nerve of man's real dilemma, to solve the problem from which all other problems flow. Man is a sinner who needs an overwhelming love. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Many believed in him when he was still an infant. And when they did so, the baby became their savior. The shepherds believed, regardless of the simplicity with which they understood. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told to them. Though they believed with less understanding than we who have the New Testament, and though we might even think of them as believing within the Old Testament framework as Old Testament saints, they nonetheless did believe, and they will be in heaven with us. They are in the Church of Jesus Christ. But many, I am sure, did not believe. The shepherds must have run into a tremendous dilemma when they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Luke goes on to tell us that all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And we cannot doubt that those who wondered must have been split into two camps. Some believed while others did not. Some must have shrugged their shoulders. All right, but I don't need a savior. As we ourselves have run down the hill with the shepherds, looked at the baby, and heard the shepherd's testimony, have we believed? Have we believed? Amen. We have believed. We run down with them. If we have, that is a happy thing indeed, for it means we are now Christians. That is fine. But then we must ask ourselves, what difference has this looking made in our present lives? He goes on to give some answers, but we'll have the rest of next year, if the Lord gives it to us, to explore answers like those. So I bid you a Merry Christmas. I encourage you to reflect on the fact that God has called us as part of the witnesses, part of his program, not the most impressive vessels. But praise be to God that we join this company, this ragtag group of witnesses, to give glory to God and to spread the good news of Jesus coming and of his coming return. Amen.